Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
To be a loyal Democrat or not to be? That is the question for the Hamlet of Jackson Heights. State Senator Hiram Monserrat of Queens, he threw his support to the Republicans, as you know, in last week's state Senate coup. Now he will swing back to the Democrats, ending the one-week GOP rule and putting the Senate in a 31-31 tie. So here is what might be the next great Albany debate that breaks out as a result. The Senate president, for the moment, Monserrat's fellow dissident, Democrat Pedro Espada, says he would get two votes in the event of this 31-31 tie on any bill. I'm not sure if he thinks it applies to the leadership vote. He would get his regular vote, and he would get the tiebreaker, he says, because there is currently no lieutenant governor. Thank you, Elliot Spitzer. But is it true? Espada is also promising to bring a gay marriage bill to the floor if he's in charge, something Democratic Majority Leader Malcolm Smith did not promise to do. So Daily News Albany Bureau Chief Ken Lovett is here. So is Gerson Barrero, longtime El Diario columnist and author of The Barrero Report on the Internet. Ken and Gerson, welcome back to WNYC.
How are you?
Buenos dias.
Ken, you had it first. It was an exclusive on the cover of the Daily News, and now Pedro Espada is confirming that Hiram Monserrat will go back with the Democratic conference. What does it mean?
It means that there's more chaos ahead. It means that right now there's a 31-31 split. The big question will be, is there any Senate leadership? Espada and the Republicans are saying, regardless of what happens with Monserrat, that the coup stands from last week, the leadership coup, meaning that they, as in Espada, remains Senate president and Republican Dean Skelos remains majority leader. That's up in the air. That's in court. And in breaking news, a court hearing this morning that was supposed to settle the matter, the judge sent the two sides back to the Capitol.
Again?
Again, to try and hammer out an agreement before going back this afternoon for yet another court hearing.
Wow. And is that because of this development involving Monserrat?
I am assuming so.
So, Gerson Barrero, the claim from Pedro Espada is if there is a 31-31 tie, as I described, that he would get two votes. He would get a tie-breaking vote because as Senate pro tem, President pro tem of the Senate, he sits in for the lieutenant governor. There is no current lieutenant governor. Do you know if he's claiming that that would also apply to a leadership vote, which would determine who the actual majority is in the Senate?
Well, as I understand it, Brian, the constitution of the state is clear, separate from the creation of the majority. The president pro tem is in the constitution. Kenneth can actually correct me if I'm wrong. However, the majority leader status is created by the legislature, that is the Senate. So therefore, we would have to go. I'm no constitutional expert, but I think that in terms of his claiming the role of being a tiebreaker vote, that may apply. It may be a trick that nobody foresaw when the Constitution of the state was written, but I think there's a basis for that. What happens in terms if it applies to the actual rules of the Senate that they've created in creating the majority leader position, that remains to be seen. You know, the judge is so valiant that he throws it back. Well, this is why this state is all screwed up.
Well, it could fall right back to a judge, Ken Lovett from the Daily News, to resolve exactly this difference, right? Who gets to cast that extra vote if the Senate does deadlock over which party has leadership control, 31-31?
And get this, and they're not saying this is the case, but Democrats are actually exploring the option that Governor Patterson would still get to cast the tie-breaking vote because he was initially elected as lieutenant governor.
Huh. I saw that in your story this morning. Do you think they have a legal leg to stand on with that?
I can't imagine. The two-vote thing is interesting. You know, obviously that would be challenged in court.
I mean, come on. One man, two votes? That's not what I think of as America.
However, there's a way the Democrats can even get around that. So say it's deadlocked 31-31, and the Democrats just want to stop it. You know, they don't want to spot it casting the deciding vote. They could withhold a vote.
So Brian, we're not talking about America. We're talking about New York.
But
Albany.
Kept, The Democrats can withhold a vote that would make it 31-30. You need 32 votes to pass it in the chamber.
Listeners, help us out here. Any New York State constitutional lawyers in the audience right now? 212-433-WNYC. And, of course, we're wondering what you're thinking about the entire mess in Albany. The phones are open. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. As we follow these breaking developments with Gerson Borrero from the Borrero Report and Daily News Albany Bureau Chief Ken Lovett, 212-433-9692, or post on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. By the way, Hiram Montserrat, the Hamlet of Jackson Heights, who seems to be wavering back toward the Democrats now, is planning a news conference for 11:30 this morning. And if it does happen at that time, we will cover it within this show. Hey, Gerson, both these dissident Democrats are Puerto Rican. They both went to the Yankee game on Saturday wearing their colors, that is, their baseball colors. Did they show up at the Puerto Rican Day Parade yesterday wearing those colors?
They weren't to be seen, or as we say in Spanish, they couldn't be found in Centro de Espiritita. You couldn't get a seance together of people to get them back in there. So I don't know exactly. I think they were busy trying to, you know, wheel and deal. When I originally reported, the Borrero Report reported in the afternoon, mid-afternoon, that they were going, that they had the third baseline tickets, it was interesting because at that point, what Pedro Espada intended to do was keep his dear friend, but not trustworthy friend, Hiram Montserrat, close to him, but there were other people really working him hard. I think that the evidence of the pressure that was brought upon Hiram Montserrat, who actually likes this limelight kind of thing, given the fact that he actually selected Reverend Al Sharpton to be the go-between. I hear that Eric Adams is not very happy about that because he spent a lot of time on
State Senator Eric Adams of
exactly.
Queens.
Exactly. So it's interesting that he likes the limelight, Brian. I think that he's, you know, just relishing in this all this attention. John Liu from the city council member for Queens also mentioned this. I think that we have to understand here that there is also a diversion of the real problems that these two individuals have. State Senator Espada being investigated under investigation. I hear there's even one from the AG. There's also the concern of the criminal charges pending 6-count indictment from the Queens County for Hiram Montserrat. So we're not dealing here with, you know, no Sonia Sotomayor's here in terms of their impeccable records.
But tell me this, Gerson. Are they respected and admired for bringing power to themselves when there's been no history of Latinos and, you know, in the leadership in Albany? There has been some reporting to that effect, including that Montserrat is really very popular in his district. He goes to the bat for tenants on rent issues and other things, and that there is a maybe not so secret cheering section in the Latino caucus in the state legislature because they felt dissed by Malcolm Smith, the erstwhile Democratic leader who's African American, and others. Do you think there's truth to that?
Well, you certainly lay out a good springboard from which I can answer that. I certainly don't think that anybody can really be proud of them. However, there is, in the inside baseball that is played, there are a lot of sectors and activists that are happy about the fact that finally the Democrats are really to blame for this. They've excluded Puerto Ricans from ascending into the power structure of the Democratic Party, and I'm talking about the Democratic as a whole. You look at New York City as a whole, the five counties of New York City, composed of New York City. We've never elected anyone citywide. Certainly statewide, we're absent from being present, and yet they count on us as loyal Democrats. I think that this stirring up the pot, they're turning over the wheel cart of the Democratic Party certainly has been given credit, but nobody, I don't care what communities, can be proud of the kind of allegations and the innuendos and the charges that have been brought against these two. Certainly not the kind of people that you want to hold up as good examples.
Although we had Republican after Republican on the show last week, part of the coalition with Espada and Montserrat, saying, look, these guys are innocent until proven guilty of the assault charges in Montserrat's case, of having two homes or campaign finance irregularities.
They weren't saying that when
of course,
earlier in the year when people like Marty Golden were saying that they should be drummed out of the Senate.
Yes, but that's political hypocrisy on the Republicans' part. But what standard do you want to set, Ken, with respect to judging these elected officials? Is it possible that the media is dismissing the seriousness of these two men as it portrays this tug of war as a circus and them as criminals for things that haven't been proven.
Well, I don't know if they're dismissing the seriousness of the men. I mean, you know, Hiram Monsrot's a freshman senator. You know, to be able to hold up the entire Senate as a freshman, I mean, that's, you know, significant. I will say, oddly, out of all this chaos may come the one thing that everybody's wanted for a long time. You may see some bills coming to the floor in the next couple of weeks where people have no idea whether they're going to pass or not.
And, Gerson, that was my next question, and that is about Pedro Espada. I saw him on New York One on Friday night saying if he is president pro tem of the Senate, he will bring a gay marriage bill to the floor of the Senate in the next 2 weeks, something the Democrats were not promising to do.
Well, that's just it. You can't look at this just through one glass and one of purity when you're dealing with Albany and the legislature. I mean, this is the most dysfunctional, dishonest, crooked, corrupt legislature in anywhere in the United States. And we own it. New Yorkers own it. We elected these people. And for better or for worse, you have it on both sides of the aisle, in both houses of the House. So we have a situation here where maybe Pedro Espada will be good for certain issues that everyone has played homophobe on, and that people have been scared to define themselves, that people have made careers like the Reverend Ruben Diaz in bashing gays and they're wanting equal rights under the law and also being able to feel like they are human beings and not something that can be spit upon like he does continuously. So we have a situation here that there may be some good coming out of this mess, which is really, you know, it smells like a latrine, and that's what they're acting as. That's what you get from them. I feel that we need to wait and see how this winds up. You saw Shelley Silver. Now, of all people, Shelley Silver saying that there's a deadlock. What's the matter? They took the power away from Shelley? So even Shelley Silver is upset at this because he used to be able to cut these deals with just two other people. It was three men in a room that actually did all the legislation and the important, you know, dicing up our money, the people's money.
And so, now some more democracy, ironically, may come to the state Senate as power disperses.
Exactly.
So, Gerson Barrero, longtime El Diario columnist and author of the Barrero Report on the Internet and Daily News Albany Bureau Chief Ken Lovett. Let's take a few phone calls. Curtis in East Elmhurst is calling in. Curtis, is that Hiram Monsrot's district? Curtis, you're on the air. Can you hear me? All right, let's get back to Curtis in a minute. Let's try Bob in Mineola. Bob, you're on WNYC.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
There's two things. Of course, is promising, which he does, which has no teeth because he's not the president. The vote doesn't even count because they weren't allowed to bring a vote without being in power. So the point is, the whole vote of him being president is totally the whole concept about what should be voted on or adjudicated by the judge. But the point is, of course, Espada wants to bring a gay vote to the floor. He was one of the gang of three who promised not to have a gay vote. So the point is, he knows it's going to fail, and that's the whole gay point. They're going to bring it up, they're going to wipe it out by the Republicans and be done with this whole gay vote and equal rights and civil rights for gay people because they know it's going to fail.
Well, that's an interesting theory. Ken Lovett, do you think there's anything to that theory? Because the original gang of three that was supposed to overthrow the Democrats earlier in the year included Ruben Diaz from the Bronx, who's the biggest opponent of legal gay marriage in the Senate. But he's not in this new coalition.
No, but Espada and Monsrot had always held out that that wasn't their issue. That was Diaz's issue. Right. Espada has always maintained that he's for same-sex marriage and that he does want to actually see it pass. And he claimed to me yesterday, I don't know how true it is, that there are actually enough Republicans that would put it over the top and it would pass.
He also, when you have Joe Bruno actually reversing on that whole
issue. That's a really interesting development over the weekend. Go ahead.
Then you have to, you know, how has this been reconfigured? So while Bob certainly is throwing stones at somebody that deserves to be thrown, you got to wait and see, Bob. You got to wait and see, because at least bringing it to a vote, bringing it out in the open, if you will, then it will determine who's who and where they're standing at. So we have to wait for that. People do change their positions. Case in point, Joe Bruno.
That is such an interesting development. Joe Bruno, the former longtime Senate Majority Leader in Albany, Republican, Catholic, says now that he's out of power, he's changing his position to pro-legal gay marriage. And Ken Lovett, that was in the Daily News today, and he said that the reason is that he only opposed gay marriage in the past because so many of the members of his conference were opposed. Now he has to look himself in the eye.
There was a profound shift in Joe Bruno when he came down with prostate cancer. Just his public rhetoric changed immensely, and I think this is the continuation of that. I mean, Joe Bruno once referred to it as gays as an abnormal lifestyle. That was back in '95. So, you know, he shifted over the years for political expediency. When Governor Pataki was shifting left, he put pressure on the Senate to support some gay rights bills. But certainly, Joe Bruno, we've seen a kind of live and let live attitude toward him, both as he's gotten older, as his wife passed away, and when he dealt, I guess, with his own mortality. There was certainly a public shift, and I think this is just part of it.
That's so interesting. Now I think we have Curtis in East Elmhurst. Hi, Curtis.
Hi, this is Curtis.
Are you in Hiram Montserrat's district? Do you know?
I am, in fact.
And?
Well, I'm glad to see that he has decided to switch back to the Democrats because we, the folks who live out here in East Elmhurst, voted for him to be a Democrat and not to be in working with the Republican caucus, but to be working with the Democratic caucus.
Curtis,
and the other issue that I think that hasn't really gotten out there, that I think that should be put out there, is that a lot has been said about this rift between Hispanics and African Americans. And I'm African American, and I supported Hiram and a lot of other African Americans. He had very, very large, broad-based support in the African American community out here in East Elmhurst. And I think that's been kind of lost in this kind of shuffle where it's been talked about where there's been conflict between African Americans and Latinos.
Well, Curtis, Curtis, but it is a small amount. The percentage in that district is a small amount of African American votes.
That's not true. That's not true.
Oh, well, I know the numbers, buddy. Believe me, I know the numbers.
All right, but Curtis, an important, interesting point, and thank you very much.
By the way, Brian, if you go to the BorreroReport.com, I'm not just plugging this. If one of the persons that actually came out against this in terms of being concerned about that was actually Reverend Diaz, State Senator Reverend Diaz, who didn't want this to be perceived as that. He said that first on, and we report on the Borrero Report.
As a black Latino issue?
Yeah, as a black Latino issue. He was concerned that it would come out naturally. He's also concerned about the fact that it would hurt his son, who is the borough president now, the coronated borough president of the Bronx, if you will. And I think that it's interesting after Adolfo Carrion went to Washington. So you have a situation. I think that Curtis makes a point, but I think that Al Sharpton, this time I got to praise him because he actually handled that meeting in Hiram's district, which appeared to be somewhat racial bullying, but he actually was very careful and handled it extremely well.
Okay.
So it's not perceived as a black Latino race.
So we're almost out of time, but for those of you just joining us, the news this morning, Hiram Montserrat, the dissident Democrat from Queens, will go back and vote with the Democratic Conference for who controls the Senate. That's probably going to make a 31-31 tie. And so that is still up in the air in terms of the ultimate control. But I've been calling him the Hamlet of Jackson Heights since last week for his wavering. Here is a little bit of history of that. 6 seconds of Hiram Montserrat on this program last Tuesday when he joined the Republicans.
What we have agreed to is not Republican control, but a bipartisan power-sharing agreement.
But here he was by Thursday later in the week in Albany starting to waver.
You can't have coalition government with 2 Democrats and 30 Republicans. It's just not reality.
And today the announcement comes that he will rejoin the Democratic Conference. Now, one other thing. On Pedro Espada, Gerson, do you think he really lives in the Bronx, in his district, or in his Mamaroneck home? Here he is with Bill Ritter on Channel 7 yesterday, explaining why he has 2 homes so close together and spends a lot of his time in the Westchester residence.
Senators, U.S. Congress people, Mayor Bloomberg has multiple residences. I've been blessed with opportunities. I grew up on public assistance. I did not take a vow of poverty, and I own a number of residences.
Congratulations.
I own one. Well, thank you. That's the American dream. That's what we've lived. I am a Bronx bred, born. I've been raised on public assistance. I've done well. I don't hide my Mamaroneck property, my residence, but I live in the Bronx. I go to church in the Bronx. 97% of the people elected me because they know me.
Gerson Barrera, we have about 20 seconds left. How much do you doubt his word?
I do not doubt his word. I know that he has a home in Mamaroneck, and believe me, this is not a new story. It was first reported during his first tenure in the Senate, and it was done by Eddie Borges for the Village Voice. This is not a new story. It's an old story, but, you know, it's fresh now, and it's an issue. By the way, he's concerned about his safety. Go to the BorreroReport.com, and you'll see that somehow this guy who is very brave for certain things is saying that it's getting very rough up in Albany, so he's more afraid of thugs in Albany. His words, not mine.
I saw that post, and somebody did break into that Mamaroneck house the other day, apparently, maybe having to do with this. And Ken Lovett, just tell me, when will they take this vote for the leadership in the Senate that may wind up 31-31?
There may be no vote for leadership in the Senate. They may just go right to a power-sharing agreement. Huh. The Republicans are saying in a spot of there is no need for a vote because the coup was done illegally. A judge will decide whether that was true or not. If it's true, you're going to have a spot as Senate president. You're going to have Dean Skelos, a Republican, as the so-called majority leader, although there will be no majority to preside over, and then you're going to have a 31-31, you know.
In other words, it's going back to court.
It's going back to court.
And we love this. We really hate this, right, Ken? We really hate this kind of chaos.
Daily News Albany Bureau Chief Ken Lovett, Gerson Barrero, author of The Barrero Report on the Internet. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Brian.
And what is at stake? As you know, last week we were covering various of the issues that the Senate is not voting on while they engage in their power struggle, and we'll do another in a minute, extending the statute of limitations on priest sexual abuse. This is up before the New York State Legislature. We'll look at that issue in a minute.